sorry, so quiet.
Blog Talk Radio.
There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. The laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communication, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training. UFCCM listeners, to our friends and supporters of the UFCCM, we're so glad that you've joined us today, and a hearty welcome to each and every one of you to be here with us for another UFCCM Ministry of Laity Training Outreach broadcast. We thank God through the power of the Holy Spirit, has given us the privilege and opportunity to share with you through these broadcasts, and we're so delighted that you've taken time out of your schedule to join us today. As we often say, these broadcasts are designed to reach out to UFCCM laity and others who wish to join, the purpose being to fulfill the goal of the UFCCM Ministry of Laity Training, which is in keeping with Ephesians 4:11-13, to prepare us for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up and matured spiritually. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come before you right now in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. Father, we thank you for giving us life, health, and strength, and a desire to learn and know more of you. We ask you, Father, to bless each and every listener. Oh, God, bless our speaker today. Lord, let someone be touched in a mighty way. Father, we ask you to bless our UFCCM worldwide, our prelate, all of our bishops, our associates, and everyone from everywhere, including the friends and supporters of this great ministry. Father, we ask you to bless us, not that we have a good broadcast today, but that a broadcast that will do some good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, listeners, let me remind you that our theme for this year's Laity Outreach broadcast series is UFCCM Laity, a people prepared, empowered, and emboldened by God's word for greater works. During this year, as we often let you know, we've been led of the Lord to feature a variety of speakers, including some of our bishops and other UFCCM clergy leaders and lay leaders who will present lessons and learning sessions around this year's theme to help us to know how to be prepared, empowered, and emboldened by God's word for greater works. We encourage you to tune in to the second Saturday of each month at 12 noon Eastern time for our broadcast. And during these broadcasts, you will have the opportunity to call in with your comments, questions, testimonies, or even insights which you may wish to share to build up the body of Christ. If you're listening online on the UFCCM homepage or on Facebook, you may call in with your questions or comments by using your phone. Remember, the call-in number is 347-850-1405. We will be excited and pleased to hear from you and encourage your participation. Well, it is a great honor for us today to have as our guest speaker and presenter, Bishop Shirley A. Tindall, who is known throughout the UFCCM as Mother Bishop. In addition to being the wife of our presiding prelate, Mother Bishop is an active member of the UFCCM headquarters jurisdiction, and she also serves as the UFCCM Secretary General. She has served faithfully as the co-pastor of her home church, the First Church of Faith, Power, and Deliverance in Baltimore, Maryland. We're so glad to have you here today, Mother Bishop, and look forward to the lesson you have to share with our listeners. We are expecting a fresh word from the Lord. What is your topic today?
My topic today, first of all, I'd like to say thank you, Teacher Tindall, for extending to me this invitation to share with you and the entire UFCCM family about God's Word. And my topic for today is Christian warfare, effective preparation through God's Word.
Oh, what a powerful message lesson we are about to receive. So tune in, perk up your ears, and let us listen to what Mother Bishop has prepared for us. So Mother Bishop, please share with us what God has impressed upon your heart for us today.
Thank you, Sister Teacher. Thank you so much. I thank God again for this opportunity to bring to you a lesson that God has placed upon my heart. I would just like to reiterate the theme for the laity broadcast, a people prepared, empowered, and emboldened by God's word for greater works. And reiterating the theme, I would like to begin to really think of God's people as we have a responsibility to prepare ourselves. When I began to do my research, I said, let me just go to Webster's Dictionary and really define and look closely at what the word prepare means. And according to the dictionary, it says, to prepare means to make something ready for use or consideration, to put in proper condition or readiness. Wow, that's a lot. Can I just repeat that once again? To prepare means to make something ready for use or consideration, to put into a proper condition or readiness.
Now, Mother Bishop, that fits so well with the theme of Ephesians 4:11-13 and
yes,
the mission of the UFCCM Ministry of Laity Training, which is to prepare the laity
exactly,
for works of service so
exactly,
that the body of Christ might be uplifted.
Yes, that is so true, Sister Teacher. And I looked even a little bit further. I wanted to make certain that people truly understood what we were saying when we say to be prepared. From the Cambridge English Dictionary, it means to make or to get someone or something ready for a particular thing that is going to happen near or in the distant future. So we see that from this particular word, prepare, it's not something that we are expected to do haphazardly.
Mm.
We have to have a strategic idea, a strategic plan in order to do this something that will occur either at that particular time or in the future. As born-again believers, we know throughout God's word, things are not done in a haphazard manner. God always uses some form of preparation when dealing with his people. He had a strategy, and if we look at Genesis 3:21, God made preparation for a fallen Adam by preparing coats of skin for both him and his wife Eve. And likewise, he made preparation for most of creation. Or when God told Noah to prepare an ark, And I, what I like about this, and this is from Genesis 6 and 14, God gave specific details in how Noah was to prepare this ark. It wasn't something that Noah just put together and just threw together. You know, sometimes even in life, some of us, when we're in a rush or when we're in a hurry, we just kind of throw things together. We don't really think of what the ramifications are going to be and how we prepare things. But throughout God's word, he has demonstrated through us that it is essential that we prepare ourselves, that we have a strategic plan. And, you know, by the way, that was one of our themes from our conference some time ago.
Mother Bishop, I am so impressed by these thoughts that you're giving us about not being haphazard, and we can go on and on for that, because we see how many things and how many programs and efforts fail because of people being haphazard and lack of preparation and throwing things together in a rush or hurry.
Exactly.
And I know you're going to get into this for us as laity to wait on the Lord.
Yes.
I know you're going to go there.
Yes, Sister Teacher. Yes, indeed. And it just getting back, I do have an outline here. I have prepared myself, so I'm going to try to stay with this, but I do feel the presence of the Holy Spirit right now. We can recall how God prepared Joseph to be a ruler in Egypt. You know, when you read this story, if you go to Genesis, the 40th chapter and the 41st chapter and read, and even before that, and read the story of Joseph, it looked like things were done in a haphazard way. But God had a very specific plan for Joseph, for him to end up where he was. Because of where he was, God's people, God had a plan for his people. So all of this preparation that came into play, it speaks volumes to us as people. We can remember how John the Baptist and Matthew's the third chapter, verse 3, declared, "To prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Effective preparation is essential when doing God's work, or as we say, kingdom building. We can see this throughout the entire Word of God, that there was always some manner of preparation, some manner of planning, some manner of strategically putting things together. So what does that say to us? As Christians, we need to make certain that when we're going about God's work, that we have done the things necessary to prepare ourselves to be fully equipped, that we make certain that we are representing the kingdom of God and not ourselves. And I think sometimes, Sister Teacher, people may lose sight of that.
Yes.
That why am I doing this? Why am I leading the choir? Why am I being a deacon? Why am I an usher? There is preparation for that, because this is the way God has planned throughout Scriptures.
Yes.
So this now brings me to my subject of Christian warfare, effective preparation. I want to bring to your attention Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the 10th to the 20th verse. I'm not going to take all the time to read that. So while I'm talking, if you have your Bible, quickly get your Bible and open to that scripture. Again, that's Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the 10th to the 20th verse. And that will be for the next part of our discussion. Here, the Apostle Paul, while imprisoned in Rome, wrote to the saints at Ephesus concerning the church and the preparation that was essential in order to be effective in Christian warfare. These truths that Paul presented are just as essential for us today in order to be successful as it was during that time. Paul was clear in his description, and he used an analogy that would help Christians in Ephesus as well as Christians today, to visualize what he was about to present to them in this epistle or letter. Paul was keenly aware of the trials that we as Christians would face during our journey. Paul used the example of a soldier preparing for battle in order to illustrate the warfare of spirit-filled believers. And I just want to say here, make no mistake, we as Christian believers, we are in a war. We have the confidence of knowing from having prepared and read through the scriptures known through the scriptures that we must prepare ourselves as Christian believers. And Paul takes the time to illustrate that. Now, I will pause here and say that I've never been in the army or in the service, but I've had my father, my uncles, I have some nephews, and others that I know that have been in the service. So I have an idea of what a soldier would look like. And one thing I do know, even though I've never been in the service, that each service person, we look at the colonels and the general, but they all had to go through a time of preparation. They all had to participate in that name called boot camp. They had to start at the bottom. They had to be prepared. So when you think of that illustration that Paul used, it allows us to say, okay, that I can really relate to this because I understand that the soldiers on the battlefield, they have been prepared. Uncle Sam just does not take anyone off the street and just throw them out there and say, here's a gun, this is what you're supposed to do. So Paul used an illustration that we can relate to even if we have not been in the service.
Yes.
In Ephesians 6 and 10, we are told specifically how we are to prepare for battle, or how we are to prepare for Christian warfare. One thing I would like to say, that as Christians we know, because Jesus got up from the grave, he arose, that the war is already won. But as believers that are here on this earth, we still have battles that we must be entangled with.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, oftentimes people would say, you know, I don't, and of course this is for a whole nother subject, and one of these days maybe I'll have the opportunity to talk about sanctification and why it's essential and why it's necessary and why we must be filled or empowered with the Holy Spirit, because we have to live on this earth.
Yeah.
But that's another subject, and I'm going to come back to my paper. But Paul warns that we must, and this is not an option, put on the whole or the entire armor of God.
Mm-hmm.
This is essential in order that we be prepared to stand against all of the strategies and tricks of the devil.
Yes.
And trust me, saints, and I know that I have some witnesses there, the enemy, in order to try to encapsulate God's people, he will set up strategic pitfalls you to fall into.
Yes.
So in order for us to be empowered, in order for us to be prepared, in order for us to be emboldened in God's word, Paul is letting us know, children, these are the things that you need to do. These are the things that you need to prepare yourself.
And you know, Mother Bishop, I am so elated that you have referenced the Apostle Paul in the illustration.
Yes.
And you talked about pitfalls and the analogy that you gave of the military. If those soldiers and recruits are not trained, they
yes.
will fall into anything
exactly.
that they're not prepared
for.
And this is why sometimes in the body of Christ, we
yes.
fall into pitfalls and don't even know how to get out because we lack the preparation.
That is so true, Sister Teacher. That is so true. And it is essential in order that we be prepared to stand against all the strategies. And I really want to emphasize that, all of the strategies and all of the tricks of the enemy. Because sometimes when it seems like we're doing well, the enemy will set something up in our pathway through someone that we may come in association with. So it's essential that we be fully equipped with our Christian warfare. We are instructed to use every single piece of the armor. And this is what I really like. You know, sometimes when we dress ourselves, we may leave off a piece of jewelry, or we may not have matching shoes, or I may not have the right scarf. So I go out, and I may not be fully dressed. And if I'm running to the store, I'll just put on maybe some sweatpants or something like that. But that's not my full dress.
Yes.
But Paul is warning us. And this is what I like about this, that at all times in our lives, we cannot be like we do when we're running out to the store with just tennis shoes and sweatshirt and sweatpants. We've got to be fully dressed. This is not only for our safety, but for our success as well. I would like for you to picture in your minds, as we briefly discuss this, the first piece of armor, and if you're reading this in the Word, I'm going to go through this relatively quickly. A sturdy belt of truth must be wrapped around your loins. This and people have questioned, well, why? Because this is the middle section of your body, of your Christian body, that contains the reproductive organs. Thus, this is where life comes from. As believers, the only thing we are to reproduce in our spiritual lives is truth.
Yes.
Let me just repeat that. The only thing we are to reproduce in our spiritual lives is truth. So when we fail to gird ourselves with truth, we open ourselves up simply to untruth.
Yes.
Paul was very specific about this. So think in terms of dressing yourself, that part of your body. If you don't have yourself wrapped in truth, then what are you going to bring out? Untruth.
That's right.
And
amen.
So many times people get caught up into what the world likes to say, little white lies.
Oh, yes.
And untruth is an untruth.
Yes.
So he's telling us as Christians to make your yeah be yeah and your nay be nay.
Yes.
I'm just putting it in our vernacular. So it's important. So now you see that you're wrapped in your middle part where your reproductive organs are with truth.
I want to share. I read something the other day that said the only fruitful sin is a lie. Because when you tell one, you have to
tell
another one and another one and another one.
Yes.
So truth is so critical.
Truth is so critical. Now, there is a little story about truth, but I'm not going to take the time to talk about that. And some of us have heard the naked truth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe I'll just do a little bit of that. One day, truth and lie, they went down to the little pond to go and swim. It was a hot day, so both of them took off their clothes, jumped into the water, and while Truth and Lie were in the water just having a great time, Lie got out of the water and put on Truth's clothes and went into town. When Truth came out of the water, he couldn't find his clothes at all, and he went into town as the naked Truth.
Praise God.
You know, so that's just a little tale. I've heard my bishop say that often.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, as Christians, do not do anything. When someone asks you something, do not fabricate, do not exaggerate. Tell it like it is. Tell the truth. And, you know, there are a lot of people, if they had told the truth, they would not be in the situations that they are. Let's move on quickly. The second piece of armor is the breastplate of righteousness. Oh, thank you, God. This area encloses the chest that covers the heart of man. So the only thing that must enclose our heart is righteousness.
Mm.
There is a connection between the heart and the head, and I'll talk about that just a little bit later. But think about that, that oftentimes people talk about, oh, it's in my heart, and this is what I feel. And that, of course, we know is more or less like an analogy, because the brain is the thing that actually connects to the heart. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. So across one of the most vulnerable parts of your body, where your heart lies, righteousness, that is what should be covered. That breastplate that you put across your heart, it should be full of righteousness.
Yes.
How much better off we would be as Christians if the things that we put into our heart were righteousness instead of gossip, instead of tales, instead of make-believe, instead of false truths and things of that nature. So Paul is telling us specifically, so we're really getting ourselves prepared of how we're supposed to really fight in this Christian warfare, in this battle. The next piece of armor are the feet. Oh, my goodness.
Mm.
You know, Sister Teacher, I thought about this when I was thinking about this particular part. Let me just finish, and then I'm going to come back. The next piece of armor are the feet, which must be shod or covered tightly with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So as you walk, you can bring good news of the gospel.
Ooh.
Not when you walk that you bring the gossip of Sally Mae, or the bad talk from Johnny Lee, or things that you may have surmised. And when I looked at this really deep, when it talks about being shod, it means that you really lace up those sandals tight. And I think that is different than just putting it on and not tightening up your laces, because he's letting us know how important it is to really enclose our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Yes.
How many times people will take their feet, instead of running to bring peace, they run to bring confusion.
Mm-hmm.
They run to bring discord. They run to bring gossip. They run to bring things that are not good for the kingdom building. They will bring everything except for the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I like that word, because it says preparation of the gospel of peace.
Mother Bishop, this is just, I'm beside myself with excitement at what you're presenting to us today. And right now we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. The other day I had an opportunity to speak to Sister Janae Robinson, who, and I hope she won't mind me mentioning her name, but who mentioned that she is now a newly appointed church secretary. And so what
can we do to help those in the church who have specific assigned tasks and works to do those more effectively? And if you look at that list of courses and workshops and seminars that we have, there are seminars on such things as instructional techniques for Sunday school teachers. There's a whole curriculum that I have developed for new members training. There are seminars on church protocol, human relations in the church, and in our daily walk. How many of us have dealt on our jobs with people that are difficult or that are hard to get along with? So there's a seminar on what God's Word teaches us and helps us to execute in terms of dealing with and communicating with different people. Over the years, we have presented a number of seminars at the various USCCM conferences. And so this is an expansion of those brief seminars into learning events and activities that will benefit all members of the USCCM. So how is this executed? Well, we are going to be doing these periodic broadcasts. I would like you to know that during these broadcasts, we will be providing many seminars. They will only scratch the surface, and they will be brief in scope, and they will be primarily informational, because the most effective way to learn is to be actively engaged. And that leads us to the next level of training, which we would like to have the USCCM move into, which are jurisdictional training sessions, sessions where jurisdictions would gather and bring their laity together, and then we would have the opportunity to present workshops. And a workshop means you work, you learn, you're actively engaged, so that what you learn becomes a part of you, and when you leave, you have something to take with you that can be applied to your life, to your situation. These seminars, these jurisdictional training sessions, I should say, will be by invitation of the jurisdictional bishop. We have in place a method to work with jurisdictional bishops to do a needs assessment, where we Mother Bishop, we were flowing with this, so we're going to let you continue. Oh,
thank you, Sister Teacher. Just to step back just a little bit and talking about the feet and how we need to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I just wanted to emphasize that when your feet are shod, the laces are tied as tightly as they can. And I think that is so important, that when you think about that, that we need to have the gospel of peace so tightly around our feet, so much a part of us, that we will not have to worry about going in or doing or moving to places where we shouldn't be. When you think about the function of the feet, with them you can walk into danger, or you can walk away from danger. And having the preparation of the gospel of peace, that will give us the insight that it's the thing I like about that, Sister Teacher, it's not that the word of God is going to necessarily tell us afterwards, and that's fine. But the thing I love, he will tell us through his word before.
Yes.
We walk into danger.
Yes.
Before we get into a situation that we can't handle, before we get into a compromising area in life. The gospel will give us those tools to let us know long before we get there, that this is a road that we should not be taking. Mm-hmm. This is not a path that we should go on. Mm-hmm. And that comes from really being prepared in God's word. And I just want to say that, you know, people spend a lot of time, and I'm not as technically savvy as I would like to be, but a lot of times people spend a lot of time in their technical world, their social media, and spend very little time preparing themselves through the word of God. And as Christian believers today, if there has been a time that we need to know the word of God, not guess, but know God's word, that time is now.
Amen.
Because we're living in a world where now it's being said that things that are right and true are no longer right and true. Mm-hmm. They're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And things that we know according to God's word that are wrong, and now we're living in a world they're trying to convince us that they're right.
Yes.
And if you are not careful as a Christian, you will get caught up in this. You will walk right into something that the enemy will, it sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
It looks good.
Mm-hmm.
It may even taste good.
Mm-hmm.
But by knowing God's word, we will know that that is not the path that I need to be walking.
And you know, Mother Bishop, the enemy is very shrewd.
Yes, he is.
When he comes to you with a lie, he has just enough truth to make you stop and listen, and then it's coded in lies. And
exactly.
That is what you're telling us, that you need to know, be thoroughly prepared.
Thoroughly prepared.
So you will not be deceived.
Yes, yes, that is so true, Sister Teacher. I'm going to quickly move on to our next piece of equipment, is the shield of faith.
Yes.
With the shield of faith, we are prepared to suppress or destroy the fiery darts of the enemy.
Mm.
Regardless of what the enemy throws at you, and trust me, he will throw things at you, whatever heavy artillery he uses, if you have faith, you can say to yonder mountain, be thou removed, and it shall be done. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And when you think of that, having the shield of faith.
Yes.
Because, you know, Sister Teacher, this is a faith walk.
Yes, it is.
And the word of God tells us that the just shall live by their faith.
Yes.
And I'm paraphrasing that. In the last days, that is what we have to live by, is our faith. And he's letting us know that how important this piece of equipment is, that, you know, it's not one of these little small shields that just covers the upper body. But if you look back at Roman history, the shield that Paul was referring to covers and encompasses the entire body from top to bottom, from head to toe and all around. So this is what Paul is saying, that we must have this shield of faith. And how can we build our faith other than by knowing the word of God? I hear people often say, oh, Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase my faith. But you know what, Sister Teacher? I found by reading God's word that that's something that I need to do through the experience of having walked with Christ.
Yes.
Because I need to be able to say, Lord, you did this small thing for me, and now I'm praying for something, and I believe that you are going to do whatever it is that I ask of you to do. So it's like a journey. Our faith is built one thing upon another to increase our faith. I'm moving quickly on, but I feel the presence of the Lord now. Our next piece of equipment is our helmet of salvation. The head is where decisions are made. It is where we develop our strategies for battle. This is where we begin our mental preparation for battle.
Yes.
I just want to spend a little time here because, you know, it is within our brain that we are able to strategically plan out the course of our lives. It is there in the brain where wars have been developed
mm-hmm.
and devised.
Yes.
It is there in the brain that we're able to reason things out. And he is telling us the very basic thing, all these other parts that we talked about, the essential part, the brain, we must have the helmet of salvation. Without salvation, we cannot make it. We cannot be a prepared Christian. We must first, that is the very first step.
Yes.
And that is the helmet of salvation. It is the most, the brain is the most important area in the body. It is the organ that needs the most protection.
Mm-hmm.
It is, and the reason why is because there our systems are actually, many of them originated and many of them are controlled by the brain. If there is no preparation made to protect this vital part, the head, and it's damaged, and many times death will result or some form of mental defect.
Yes.
Surely, without salvation, we are doomed to destruction.
Mm.
And lastly, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word is a weapon. I heard someone say this. That was the thing that we had about 2 years ago. The Word is a weapon.
Yes, it is
a two-edged sword. So remember that as we're using the sword, or the Word, or the Spirit of the Lord, it's going to cut both ways. It will cut the person that is wielding it, and it will cut the person that is to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
It is sharper than any two-edged sword. In Matthew 4, 1 to 11, when Jesus was preparing for his earthly ministry, and after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, the devil came to tempt Jesus, and Jesus used the word of the Lord, the sword of the Spirit, to answer and defeat the enemy.
Yes.
Now, I'm closing now, Sister Teacher, but I hope that from this short lesson that I was able to just spark something in people,
mm-hmm.
to get our brothers and sisters, our laity, and even clergy that are listening, the importance that our Christian warfare, that we must really prepare ourselves. It's effective preparation through God's word. And the bottom line is that without finding, or I won't say finding, making time, because
yes.
I've said this often, if you look to find time to be in God's word, you will not find that time.
That's right.
You have got to make the time to really, really study God's word, and you will be prepared in Christian warfare to be effectively prepared through God's word. God
Amen.
Bless you.
Amen. What a magnificent, powerful lesson that we have heard from our Mother Bishop today. And right now, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to open it up for questions, comments, testimonies. And so, listeners, now's your opportunity to call in with your questions. We would love to hear from you. So let's take a quick break. There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM Ecclesiastical Ministry Offices, the laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM Ecclesiastical Ministry Offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communication, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training.
Part of our show is brought to you by Moody Mood Bibles, the Bible that changes color as your walk with the Lord changes. Cut the talk, increase the walk with Moody Mood Bibles. And by Rebukeogram, the messenger service for people who've been asking for it. And by Christians Anonymous, where they only witness to other Christians. And the motto is, keep the faith to yourself.
Amen. Well, we're back
there is
again.
A definite need.
We're back again. And listeners, I know that you all were blessed by this powerful lesson on Christian warfare coming to us from Mother Bishop. And we have some callers waiting on the line. Sister Tequila from Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, Sister Tequila.
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, what is your question?
My question is, with today, I would like to comment on the helmet of salvation. I think that is so important in today's society, especially with our saints and those moving in the ministry and following the Lord, is it very important to be careful of what you're listening to and what you're around. Putting on your helmet of salvation because that is very important, you know, I think. But is that also, you know, as far as, you know, television and you know, these the internet and things of that nature, you know, to not be deceived?
That's an excellent question. Particularly for those of us living nowadays with so much technology and social media, the thing that I say and the thing that I've said before, that as a born-again believer, and the more that you find yourself in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will direct you what it is that you should ingest, because social media and technology does have a way of literally planting on your brain. I'm a retired neuroscience nurse by profession, and impressions that you see physically and visually, those impressions are implanted on your brain. So you need to be careful what it is you feed your brain in that sense. I'm not one to stand and necessarily criticize and tell people what you should and should not watch. Let the Holy Spirit lead you in that. But if you find yourself watching something that is arousing negative feelings or ungodly feelings in you, that right there is a sign, no, I do not need to be part of this. Mm-hmm. I do not allow this to come into my spirit, into my body, into my brain. Because the thing about the brain, once a picture has been painted, it's very mm-hmm. difficult to erase that picture. That's the reason why pornography is so, so detrimental, because those pictures painted are very difficult, if impossible, to erase out the brain. So as a Christian believer, that we need to really fill ourselves with those things that are Christ-centered in one way or another.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for calling in, Sister Tequila, and I hope you were blessed by that answer from Mother Bishop.
I was. I was very blessed by it.
Thank you. God bless you. We have Bishop Brown on the line. Bishop Brown, are you there?
Yes, I am.
This is our Mother Brown, who's Bishop Emeritus of the UFCC, and we're so glad to hear from you, Bishop.
This is not Bishop Brown.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is not Mother Bishop Betty Brown.
This is Hetty.
Oh, Hetty. Oh, this is one of my former coworkers. I am so sorry, Hetty. The screen said Bishop Brown. Thank you for calling in. I hope you were blessed by the message today.
Indeed I was. I don't have a question, but I just want Mother Bishop to know that her delivery was excellent and very, very thorough, and I could listen to her for hours without being bored. I really am glad to hear from her.
God bless you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Sister Hetty. Sister Hetty and I worked together at the Army Corps of Engineers for many, many years, and she's visited our church over the years, and she's such a supporter of this ministry. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing your thoughts today.
Quite welcome.
Amen. We have Sister Paulette from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Are you there, Sister Paulette?
Yes, Teacher Tyndale, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, very well. Say hello to Mother Bishop.
Yes, blessings to you, Teacher Tyndale, and Mother Bishop.
God bless you, dear.
I came in on your comment, your quote with Mother Bishop, with making the time, finding the time to study your Bible. Incidentally, my comment is, I have to say God is so good. I do prayers on social media in a Christian group on Facebook. And my prayer today that I shared was coming from Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. Mm-hmm. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden.
Yes.
And I included a commentary along with my prayer. Darkness dominates our world. Despite appearances, darkness controls so much of what is said on how it is viewed by the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that helmet of salvation, I'm pretty much sure that it is definitely needed, and I will definitely look into and do some more reading on that salvation helmet of salvation. But your words, Brother Bishop, with making the time and finding the time, that is going to be embedded in my heart today.
Praise God. That's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Paulette. And we have Overseer Beverly Haywood. Are you there, Pastor Bev?
I am. Yes, I'm here. I don't know. Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, you can hear me. I'm sorry. All right. Greetings to you, dear Mother Bishop, and Teacher Tyndale. And I have a comment. I'm just thankful for what I'm hearing on today. And as believers, and I reach out also to the generations that are coming up behind us, because it's a lot of times they're oblivious to what's really going on around them. And when I thought back, as Mother Bishop was speaking, on the times that when I and my siblings, when we were growing up, and my mother, she would always correct us, you know, in the things that we would say. And she wanted us to understand that, you know, your words are powerful and that they have power. And to be prepared, we really need to position ourselves to be in a place to be mindful of what's going on around us, to be sensitive to the move of the Spirit, and in a place where we can hear God. And it's, I loved it as you.
Hello? Hello?
Hello, do you hear? Hello?
Yes, we have a really poor connection, Pastor Bev. Could you maybe speak a little louder?
Okay, I'm going to try to get all of it. Okay, I'm sorry. Is that better?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, and I'm going to close it because I'm taking a lot of time already, but I just wanted to just speak on how powerful it is that we are aware and understand of the warfare that we are in.
and to every believer to understand that, you know, it's not just getting up and just living and being oblivious to our surroundings and who we are. But when we understand who we are, then it does come with a responsibility, and that responsibility is to grow as we learn, as we walk, and as we develop, that we become stronger and as strategic soldiers, that we're not caught up or lost in what goes on around us, and especially to those that are new and coming in to Christ. Thank you for allowing me the time.
That is so true, Overseer Beverly Haywood, that as Christians, as we are running this race, we must be aware of what is going on around us. And it's pretty much what Jesus said, that we are in this world, but we're not of this world. So I thank you for those comments.
We thank you, Mother Bishop, and we thank you, Pastor Bev. Are there any other callers out there who have questions, comments, testimonies that you would like to share at this time? We don't want to cut anybody off, but we truly hope that you have been blessed by today's message. Yes.
This is Bishop Tyndall. Good afternoon to everybody. I just want to say that I have thoroughly enjoyed the information that's been presented by Mother Bishop this morning, and I have certainly been blessed and taken to another place in the Lord, just having my message reinforced in my spirit and listening to it presented so well. I want to encourage you to continue to do the good work that you are doing, and may the Lord continue to bless you in all of the efforts that you are doing. I thank the Laity Training Ministry for making available to those of you who are listening in the caliber of knowledge from the Word of God that is being consistently presented over these broadcasts. It is by God's Word that we live. It took the Word to save us, and it's going to take the Word to keep us. And on the topic that Mother Bishop spoke from this morning concerning preparation to be effectively prepared, we're living in the last days, and we must be prepared at all times, because we know not the day nor the hour when our Lord comes. And when he comes, he's not coming for us to hop up and get ready, but Jesus said, "Be ye also ready." And the way you do that is just by doing the things that Mother Bishop revealed to us today. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Keep up the good work, and may the Lord continue to bless you in what you're doing.
Thank you, Bishop. We're so honored that our prelate takes the time to engage himself and be involved. Again, we thank you, Bishop. Elder Arletta Allen has a question for Mother Bishop. Elder Allen, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm right here. I had a question. I just wondered, what can I do and how can I determine if I'm personally under spiritual warfare or attack? What are some things that I can look for?
That's an excellent question. I would have to essentially speak from my own experience that warfare against the Christian can come in many ways. It can come either through our immediate association with people, that suddenly you can feel that people that were always extending themselves to you are now having more negative attitudes or negative feelings. You as an individual, you may be praying, and I know I've experienced this. Sometimes when we're in warfare, we're being tested, and we're used to praying before the Lord. And sometimes during that time of testing, it will feel as if our prayers are not going forth. We may have prayed for something. We're not seeing results from that. Or sometimes it may just be even our interactions with people on our job. And sometimes it can be even more serious than that. It can be that it may appear to you as if nothing is going right or nothing is going well. And you know within yourself, Lord, I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm staying before you, but it seems like everything seems to be against me. And if you step back and you realize, you know, I'm doing exactly what Christ has instructed me to do, but now I realize these things that are happening, they are really, I'm going through a trial. I'm in the midst of a test. And when that happens, that is the time that I need to be praying and fasting even more. And there may even be a time that comes during this powerful warfare that you may not even feel like praising. You know, you've heard people say, oh, I don't feel like praising. But praising is not based on how we feel. Praising is based on the knowledge of God's word. There may be times you've heard people say, oh, I don't feel like praying. Praying is not based on our feelings. It's based on God's word. And that's the reason why it is so important, it's essential, that we actually really study God's word. I just want to read something that Bishop Tyndall just handed to me. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your disobedience is fulfilled. And this is found in 2 Corinthians 10:4 to 11, if you have an opportunity to read that scripture. So by finding ourselves in the Word of God, after we have made time, we make time to study God's Word. And the more that we are knowledgeable of His Word, the more that we know when the enemy comes to attack. And oftentimes, I can say even from personal experience, the Spirit will give you a warning when an attack is about to occur.
Amen. Amen. Sister Allen, I hope that has helped you. Hello? Allen, are you there? Well, I'm sure Sister Arletta Allen has been truly blessed by that response. And again, we want to thank Mother Bishop for her presentation, which has been a blessing to us and inspired us and educated us about what preparation is and why it is so essential if we are to be victorious in Christian warfare. Amen. I would like to remind you that our next broadcast is going to be on Saturday, June 10th, and our guest speaker will be Pastor Atia Watkins from Kingdom Covenant Christian Ministries in Rock Hill, South Carolina. And I also want to let you know that those of you who were in on our anniversary broadcast, it was so popular, and due to popular demand, we're going to have another anniversary broadcast because there were so many on the line that did not get a chance to participate as they wanted. And that broadcast will be on Saturday evening, June 9th at 8 p.m. And we will be sending out information for you on that. I understand that Elder Arletta Allen wants to respond. Apparently we had a glitch and we were cut off, but we're back connected. Elder Allen.
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to say thank you for that divine insight spiritually, because I recognize the fact that when going through spiritual warfare, that it's oftentimes those that are closest to you being utilized even as tools to be able to bring about the change that the Lord is willing to grow in you. I changed my perspective a little bit as years have passed by, that, you know, even though these things come to attack you, that they also come to grow you and groom you
and also cultivate you and push you into the next level that God has for you. So I thank you so much for that insight. It just lets me know that I'm kind of headed in the right direction. So I really appreciate that.
God bless you.
God bless you, Sister Allen. Thank you for your comment, and we're so glad that this has helped you to have a better perspective on spiritual warfare. Pastor Loretta White from Chicago has a question. Pastor, are you there?
I'm here. I was just trying to think what it is I was going to ask you. Okay, what about for you being a pastor of the church, what would you say your prayer should be for as warfare in certain community, in the community where they might sell some drugs?
Pastor, could you repeat that question?
Okay, I'm going to go. If you're in a community where they sell drugs, what would you think the warfare would be?
Are you, you're asking in a community as a pastor of a church?
Yeah,
if
you're in a community as a pastor. Right.
Yeah, and are you asking what should your prayer be as a pastor?
Yeah, as a pastor, yes.
Okay, and that's an excellent question, Pastor White, because the day and the time in which we live in, especially a lot of our churches in the inner city, we deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
I know our church in Baltimore, we have been there for decades, and we were in the inner city where we would see things as drug addiction, prostitution, alcoholism, those kinds of things. And I think our warfare and our prayers should not be any different, other than the fact that when we're praying, to pray for those that are in that form of life and to really do outreach. I know I'm just speaking from experience. At First Church, we would often have outreaches that we would reach out into the community, because oftentimes people that are in those conditions, many of them have never been churched, mm-hmm. and sometimes we have to do some social things first in order to really get them into the house of the Lord. So I would say my prayer would still be, whether you have prayer meeting or tarries, to continue to pray for your community at large. And when you're praying, to literally call them out, Lord, to deliver the drug addicts, deliver the prostitutes. And then as you are a pastor and growing and teaching your congregation, to teach them to be able to have those skills to reach out to people like that in the community. And that does take a little, it does take a special set of skills to be able to do that, to reach out to them. So that's where our prayers come in, that we continue to pray for them and maybe engage in those resources that we can use to literally reach out in the community and offer something for them. You want to get them in the church first. That's the first thing you want to do, is get them there, and then you're able to minister to them to bring the word of deliverance.
Amen. Thank you, Mother Bishop. One of our Amen. Chat line guests, this has been such a powerful lesson, and so many have been blessed. One of our chat line guests, Mother Bishop, would like to know if there will be another show on spiritual warfare. And, you know, we want to be there to meet the needs
yes.
of the laity and the body of Christ. And this is wonderful that there's mm-hmm. a desire to know more. That's what preparation mm-hmm. leads you to,
exactly.
a desire to know more. So we will be bringing, I'm sure she will agree, we
yes.
will be bringing Mother Bishop back
yes,
at a later too. Broadcast to expound more upon spiritual warfare. As Bishop Tyndall said, we're living in a time now where most of us
yes.
are attacked by the enemy, and we need to know how to deal with that.
Exactly.
So, caller, we will be having another show on this topic. We're going to close now. We've had a wonderful experience today. I just would like to remind you that our UFCCM annual conference, fellowship conference, is coming up. I believe it's June 21st through June 23rd. We'll be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and we're looking forward to a powerful time in the Lord. And this conference is all about excellence, promoting excellence in the body of Christ, and that's what preparation leads to, excellence. Amen. So we're going to close out, and we're going to ask, since we have our bishop with us, we're going to ask our bishop to give us our closing prayer. And we have a chat line guest who would like prayer on this subject as it pertains directly to their church and their family. And I am sure there are others out there that are going through. Whatever you're going through, we know that prayer changes things, and preparation will help you change things. So, Mother Bishop, again, we thank you. God bless you. We will have you on again. And we're going to ask our presiding prelate, Bishop Tindall, if he would lead us in the closing prayer, or if he would do our closing prayer.
Let us go before the throne of grace. Eternal God, our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, we give honor and praise and glory to you. It is because of you that we have life, that we walk, we talk, and move, and have our very being. Dear Lord, we thank you for the word of God that has been brought to us today through your anointed servant, through your anointed vessel, Bishop Shirley Tindall, through the auspices of the Ministry of Laity Training and this radio ministry. Lord, we know that Satan will do anything in his power to hinder and to stop the work of the Lord. But you have told us that we are not to be ignorant concerning Satan's devices. And the reason that we preach and teach in the manner in which this lesson has come forth today is that we may be consistently and constantly aware of the fact that we are more than victors. We are more than conquerors. That no weapon that Satan brings against us can prosper. When in obedience to your word, Lord, we armor ourselves with the whole armor of God, then we know that by your grace we will be able to stand. And having done all, to stand and stand again. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, as we offer prayer right now for every listening person and for those that are specifically requesting prayer for their churches, for their ministry, for their family, in the name of Jesus, we stand against every diabolical scheme of Satan. And we rebuke him in his track. And on the authority of the word of God, we command him to flee. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, you said if we resist the devil, that he would flee from us. And though we may be in warfare, Lord God, we are on the winning side because you are our commander-in-chief. You are our captain of the host. You are our victory personified. And, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, we decree and we declare encouragement and strength to those that are on the wall, to those that are on the forefront, Lord, for those that are dealing with Satan's devices every day. In the name of Jesus, strengthen your people, Lord. Give them overcoming victory, Lord. Let them know that they are not by themselves, because you have promised to be with us always, even to the end of the world. And Lord, we give your name praise and glory and honor because we believe that by your grace, we will be able to withstand and shout victory in Jesus. In your precious name we pray and give you the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Praise God. Till next time, may God bless and keep you all. There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four
UFCCM Ecclesiastical Ministry offices, the laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM Ecclesiastical Ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communications, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training.